Welcome to Check Out This Book. I'm Josefa Salinas, your host. And now it's time to talk delicious recipes. And where else but the New York Times recipe book to get them? It's like a one-of-a-kind overview of American food and culture. I tell you what, I have found some amazing, amazing recipes in here. And if you're going to pick just one cookbook to have in your kitchen, this would be it, because it covers everything. And we've got someone with us today who has actually gone through some of these recipes, found new ones, uncovered ones that maybe have been forgotten. Amanda Hesser is with us. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, am I correct that you actually tried most of these recipes, the new ones?
Yes. I did have help with the recipe testing, but I've tasted everything and made, I would say, most of them. It was really important to me that, like, everything that went into this book, I felt really good about and understood. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, write about each recipe and, like, kind of why it mattered and why it belongs in the book that's called, the recipe, the record. You know, the Times has written about food for more than 160 years, and there's a lot of really amazing content. And it was exciting to get a chance to unearth it and kind of bring, you know, distill it into what I hope will be, a cookbook that people can turn to every day.
Oh, it definitely is. Now, I see in here that you asked readers for their favorite recipes from the paper and that you got lots of letters and emails. So talk to me about how that was and then how you decided the dishes once you got the letters.
Yeah. Well, that was the first thing I did, for the first edition. And it was amazing what readers sent in. They sent in their, like, yellowed clippings and with handwritten notes on them, and people had, wrote long letters about, recipes that their families had been making from the Times for generations. And, it really kind of drove home for me, like, how important this connection was between New York Times readers and the paper and the recipes they were cooking, and that there was this kind of, ongoing connection for people that throughout different periods of their lives. And I wanted to, essentially capture that. And, so the most popular recipe probably of all time is a recipe from the 90s called Purple Plum Tort. And it's a recipe that, it was more than 20 years old when I first started working on this book. And it was more than 250 people wrote to me about it. And this was, they wrote to me by email, they wrote to me by letter. This was before you could just DM someone on social media. So it was a real effort for people to let me know. And so that group of recipes that people, which was actually a couple thousand recipes that people recommended, I used that as the foundation for, probably the first, I would say, 400 recipes in the cookbook. I cooked, the ones that got recommended most, ones that got recommended three times or more. And then from there, with the older archive, I had to sort of just comb through that myself and sort of figure out what was interesting, what was worth keeping, what was worth testing, and how to, write them in a format that made sense for a modern cook. And then more recently, with the new edition, what was really fun was that because of we're now fully in the digital age, the Times was able to tell me, here are the recipes that we know from our site data are the ones that are most popular.
Now, what
and
was...
so I used that as a sort of backbone for the new edition. And then I called on, I asked regular contributors to the paper. I asked editors and writers, and I had other people, culture writers, read the book. And, I really tried to pull in a lot of people to give, help me figure out, like, either what I was missing or to let me know about their favorites and make sure that it wasn't just a collection from my perspective, but a collection of many people's perspectives.
Now, what was the one that you said was most popular? Purple plum?
Purple plum tort.
Purple plum tort.
I know. I know, which it doesn't sound like it would be the most popular recipe, but the reason it is because it is really simple. It's very forgiving. It has, like, the batter is made with things that are in probably everybody's pantry. Actually, I'm just going to pull it up right now. And then you mix up the batter. You can't overmix it. You plop it into any old baking pan. And And then you take plums, you have them, so you don't even have to do any like fancy cutting. And actually, I'm sorry, I said it was from the 90s. The first time it came out was was 1983. And then you take the plums and you just drop them into the top of the batter. And as it bakes, those plums kind of get nice and juicy, and they sink into the batter. So it looks like these jewels embedded into the cake. And you can, it's great fresh. You can freeze it. You can double or triple the recipe. I know people who make 10 at a time and they put them in their freezer so that they have plum torts all like for the winter. And it's just, you know, it's one of those recipes that it seems like it's more complex. Like when you eat it, you think, oh, wow, this is so sophisticated. But it's actually, you know, nothing more than like flour, baking powder, sugar, eggs, butter, and plums.
Wow.
With cinnamon.
I'm going to have to try it.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, honestly, like I've had so many times in my life, both when I've made it and others have made it, and it never disappoints. And I think the Times has over the decades has done such a good job of really kind of ferreting out recipes like that are really accessible to the home cook, but have like a little twist that makes them different, that makes them really extra good and something that you're going to want to have in your part of your repertoire forever.
Nice. Yeah, I'm definitely going to try that for Thanksgiving and see how it goes over. Now, one of the ones that caught my eye is Green Goddess Salad. Now, I had never heard of Green Goddess Salad, but I knew the salad dressing Green Goddess in the 80s, but I didn't know Green Goddess Salad.
Do you mean the Green Goddess Chicken?
It says here.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, it says from moving into the older archives pre-1960, Green Goddess Salad from 1948.
Yeah, sure. And so, I mean, Green Goddess has, you know, been around since then. It's a flavor profile that has kind of goes in and out of fashion, but it's interesting that you brought that up because actually one of the most popular recipes over the past decade is a Green Goddess Chicken, and it's by Melissa Clark, and it's a roasted chicken where you marinate the chicken in a Green Goddess dressing, and it tenderizes the chicken and also infuses it with all the herbs and garlic and sort of tanginess of a green goddess dressing. So it sort of lives on in new iterations. But the salad that recipe from 1948, you know, it doesn't feel dated in any way when you look at it. It's garlic, it's got white wine vinegar, Worcestershire sauce, chives, anchovies, parsley, and romaine. It's all the things that you might find on a salad on a restaurant menu today. And sort of that's kind of the beauty of it. But, you know, it's something that we've been making since the 40s.
Well, I absolutely love this book. It's the Essential New York Times Cookbook. It's been revised and everything in here looks so delicious. And I'm telling you, if you only have room for one cookbook in your kitchen, this would be the one, because there is everything from breakfast, lunches, dinners, desserts, breads, soups, snacks, and that plum tort that I absolutely have to try this weekend, actually, to make sure that it's going to be perfect for Thanksgiving. So thank you for that one. But it's just absolutely wonderful. So let us know some social media where people can find out more about the book and you.
Sure. So they can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Amanda Hesser. And the cookbook, we'll be posting a bunch about it. I'll be posting a bunch about it on my own channels, but on at Food52 and at NYT Cooking. And you can buy the book at Food52. We're going to be selling it in a bundle with a T-shirt and some other fun things for your kitchen. And you can find it at any major retailer. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And please, anytime you have something new, come back and see us, because these are some tasty ideas.
Will do.
Thanks for being with us on Check Out This Book. Every week we'll be adding more interviews, but browse around. There's plenty here to review.